So I'm making this recording now, sitting not far away from the White Box Gallery, and I have this music playing behind me, this Latin American music, and it really is a part of the East Village, this character. And I'm so grateful to Juan for opening the space and for speaking to me with such warmth and generosity. I hope you enjoy this episode, which is again a homecoming for him back to the East Village, and also for myself as I recently moved back to the East Village. I hope you enjoy this. So here we are today with Juan Puntes. Juan I've known for many years, and he is, as I was saying to him, much more erudite about all things art. And he reminded me that he has never separated art and literature, which I think is...
That's correct.
Bravo.
Not just culture, but literature. Because I'm a child of the literary genre, right? Mm-hmm. Without literature or poetry, certainly included, we could not add the visuals to that. You know, throughout history, we could not really have a sense of where we come from, where our lineage starts, the fountain of our being here. Almost like being there, the gardener, right? How do you examine our condition? Today I had a beautiful message, three poems about three different cities, read by Johanna Roa, who is here, one of our artists. And in the midst of that, she also said, I must confess, much to my chagrin, that I love to have seen the process of you finding a space for 11 months all over downtown, considering Tribeca, this and that, and in the end, deciding to come to the East Village Alphabet City, at the margins of, you know, the art scene, so to speak, right? And without nostalgia, we want to bring, you said, you want to bring fresh narratives of what's going on today in the world, in the neighborhood, in the locality. You want to start programs with women, New Yorkican, Latinx. This is the this is the birth of Latinx in America. The East Harlem, certainly El Barrio, and here we still have the New Yorkican cafe around the corner. And I've spoken to some of them, and they're willing to collaborate with us.
Well, that's what struck me the other day when I came to the opening day for this current exhibition, and you mentioned that by coming back to the space, you had come back to your roots. And I thought that was quite interesting because for myself, I've been thinking the same thing. I moved back recently to the East Village as well, and I felt like I was coming back to my roots in New York.
Yeah, it's curious because I came here to the country as a draft invader of Franco's army, and supported by Washington, D.C., right, on the military, the last dictator to die in power in Spain, and I left. And I came here, exactly, to the East Village, to 7th Street between A and B, right? And I stayed there briefly when it was 10th. Tompkins Square was
Tent City,
but the original one, not just the later, but from the 80s that returns. And I've seen nice fly in front of my eyes, and there was, I moved down to I would go to Boston, Rochester, study there, but I come here almost every weekend from Boston Museum School, right, etc. I lived with one of the members of Mission Burma, the super, you know, cult late art punk band, right? So that gave me an in to this part of the culture, right? Which was the East Village. I can be here and say, holy shit, you know?
This is where it's happening.
Because Soho, we had gone to Soho, we had gone to 57th Street, that's where you would go in those days. And coming here and seeing, you know, this and that, the Gracie Mansion, all these galleries, you know, wow. Nan Goldin with her buddies, you know, etc. I would come here every weekend, stay in occupied houses that were being burned down by landlords.
You mean squatting?
Yeah, I just squat in, when I came on weekends and pick up people and hang out, do all the museums, CBGB, Mad Club, Max, mm-hmm. Kansas City, mm-hmm. or places we'd go in the afternoon, mm-hmm. the cheap piece at Max, Kansas City. And at night we'd go to Save the Robots. About 4 a.m. they opened, just down the street here.
Wow, I remember.
Right? And you would come out at 6, 7 o'clock, go to the Kiev or to the Veselka for breakfast, right? Mm-hmm. And et cetera, et cetera. So after calculating, you know, we were, inception was in the nascent Chelsea, 1997, I pick a lease, I have studios to support White Box, and then we opened White Box Chelsea. There were 7 galleries, right? Barbara Gladstone, mm-hmm. Metro Pictures was about the move-in, Paula Cooper,
yeah.
Team Gallery, the Kara Stewart, mm-hmm. and White Box. We were 6 or 7, the DL was there, and such, and the kitchen was 2 south. 19th Street was too south. We were in the 20s, 22nd to 26th.
Like Chelsea?
Yes, absolutely. We'd call it Chelsea eventually, mm-hmm. which is really West Chelsea, right?
Near the Chelsea Hotel.
North of it and west.
Okay.
Because the Chelsea Hotel is central.
Yeah.
I was offered a room to live there, mm-hmm. But my mate of the time said, no, you don't go there, you're going to have too much fun.
I'm sure you regretted that after.
I did, actually.
This
yes.
is what the girlfriends do.
One of the few things, yeah. You know, so kicking ass after playing in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, for a couple of years, actually, 96, 99, I was doing a master's at the Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts, mm-hmm. which is rare. There's no, I was an abstract painter, I was a guy who put together bands in Boston, 5, 6 bands, Mission Burma, you know, and the 2x4s, the turbines, and all this. I get parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I with poets. I remember local poets, most of them gay, and lesbian filmmakers from the San Francisco Art Institute, right? And I put them all together, a breath of sangria, we threw them all in there first to freshen it up, mm-hmm. and get some aroma. So that was a little bit of the roots of mine.
Yes.
Yet when I come here in 83, after a poet commits suicide, I go to Stromboli Island, and I live there for 3 months under the volcano. I read, you know, Malcolm Dore, Under the Volcano in Mexico.
Which poet died?
A poet friend of mine, Chinese.
Oh, okay.
And Mrs. Lee. Mm-hmm. And that threw me into the volcano for mm-hmm. a few months. I came back and I met Philip Pavia, a sculptor, mm-hmm. that became his right hand, and I was helping teach the classes. I was a painter, became a sculptor, and this man, in no time I realized, in his studio, I said, wait, what is this? This is Frank Klein. And I said, well, I'm one of the initiators of the 8th Street Artist Club with his raspy voice, like, Godfather at diphtheria. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and I don't know, if you stick around, I'll let you know things. So with his wife, Natalie Edgar, I was sort of like able to, and John Isaacs, my designer and book designer, we put together the book, seminar and book, The 8th Street Artist Club. So the dichotomy with me is that I had studied, you know, history of art. Mm-hmm. I had studied, you know, the movie Renaissance, when, you know, you name it, Romanesque to the present in Spain, as a hitchhiker around Europe and North Africa as a teenager, right? And I come here and I'm an art punk. I'm going to art school, the School of Museum of Fine Art, was a cool place, right? And then Tufts University, I meet all the levels of people, but I hang out more with the Metz College of Art, which is more like working class cat, right?
Yeah.
And we were next door to each other at the Fenway. And so I began to mix in my old fashioned and style. And I used to do that in Spain. I was a kid of the streets. I was a Pasolini character. Mm-hmm. But my friends were, you know, philosophy students, having terrific theater groups, which mm-hmm. I formed part of them. But I knew drug dealers, police informers, etc.
Wow.
So I come as an art, you know, as a draft evader, I come here And I mix with this several layers. I'm a punk, I'm there with Mission to Burma and Boston. Here I come and see all this space. I visit all the spaces and Mud Club. And there's still Yoko Ono at the little place next door. And before you know, Osvaldo Romberg is one of my visiting professors for my MFA at the Pennsylvania Academy in 95, 96. Arthur Danto, Philip Pavia get an honoris causa. And I asked Fred, hey, can I do a part-time master's here in the sculpture? And I ended up teaching stone carving, because Pavia taught me that, took me to Italy, etc. So short of it, all of a sudden I see myself floating between, you know, the Apex color field paint in school. And as we opened White Box with Osvaldo Romberg, we opened 3 years with play around in Old City, Philadelphia. And then we opened at the same time both cities in nascent Chelsea.
Yes.
98 September, we kicked ass with a historical show curated by Ku of pretty much all the alumni of Artist Space.
right.
Wow, and with the performances, the baby piano thing, and etc., anti-fashion shows. And the second show was Val and I decided to do a seminal artist series. We bring Vienna Actionists, right? We were on the 14th floor on 26th Street, at the Starrily High building.
Yeah.
And people completely are taken by avalanche, right? Wow, the hell, who the hell are you? What is going on, White Box?
Yeah.
Hey, White Box, certainly it was not a White Cube.
I was just about to say, that was before White Cube even started.
Before the White, absolutely, yes. And I happened to have the felicity of having had Sid Sachs as one of my professors at the Pennsylvania Academy, right? He runs the galleries at the University of the Arts in Philadelphia. Yeah. And he gave me to read Inside the White Cube, Brian O'Doherty, aka Patrick Ireland. And I get initiated into the conceptual moment. Because I came from being a painter out there and a punk and a painter, and, you know.
Should we have some tea?
Yeah. So all of a sudden, in the midst, we'll settle down, in the midst of this sea of wait. I get this job and I do the master's as I teach, and out of plain boredom in Philadelphia, right? I open a space called White Box Gallery, right? And I'm not going to call it White Cube because when I read Brian O'Doherty, they complain against the purity of space being the White Cube.
Yes.
You know? I say, wait. Stop. And curious enough, if you reel forward to now, if you look at the space with chipboard on the walls, which is recycled material, is the un-cube, not the anti.
Yeah.
I have nothing anti, nothing. We are the un-cube.
Yeah, yeah.
So we bring chipboard recycled materials to the world, right? So anyhow, I find myself in this strange, in sort of like the Strait of Gibraltar, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
In which I'm making friends with Rado Romer, who introduced me to Carolee Schneeman, Dennis Oppenheim, Vito Conti, Alison Knowles, and then I meet George Quasha, who's working with Gary Hill, and all this kind of germ of, you know, conceptual, the performance, the fluxes, Jeffrey Hendricks, who I almost gave me a job running the galleries at the Rutgers.
Oh.
And then he said, no, we need you in Chelsea, right? Right? A dinner for whatever reason in those days, which I'm far away from those days, right? Chrissy Isles comes, I do Michael Snow, back to back with the Actionists, right? And then we do Carolee Schneeman, Conrad Atkinson, Mary Beth Edelson, Alison Knowles, the salad, the Tate in a White Box, okay?
Well, tell me next about how you got to this space. I know you said you have some other partners, that's why the name is slightly different from
9B9.
9B9.
Yes. So after deep consideration, let's say 10 years in Chelsea, first alternative space, we fly to Broome Street for for 10 more years, the new museum kicks in at the same time mm-hmm. in the new sort of district, Elias opens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which has nothing to do with the East Village. Then, 10 years later, between the rents going up 50% from 10,000 to 15,000, mm-hmm. plus, I get disenchanted. It's become a little bit Chelsea-like.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody comes here. I go to East Harlem for 3 years. Then COVID hits us broadside.
Mm-hmm.
And I go like, I think it's time to shut down.
Yeah.
But instead of that, we continue. We had grants mm-hmm. from the DCA, the NEA first grant, and we continue online. And we do it, right? And I create Exodus because we had President Trump. So I create Exodus, celebrated immigration and expats, right? And we do a historical review of 55 Japanese artists. We have then the Chinese in the East Village, right, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, in April 2012, I think we did Ai Weiwei. Where is he? Who is Ai Weiwei? Who is Ai Weiwei? Who has disappeared? And we did a life from his home imprisonment.
Wow.
Other histories for the archives.
Mm-hmm.
Six hacker hats from the Russians and the Chinese, cleaned by Igor Malachevsky, or Ukrainian tech men, etc.
Yeah.
We've gone through a lot of things,
wow,
right?
Wow.
So finally, about 11 months ago, January of last year, I said, look, East Harlem is not working out, with COVID even less. But the biggest difficulty was that I found out I'm a Spanish-born and a Dominican Republic resident, and I have my heart is more in the Caribbean than in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
No, not as poetically, but as bottom line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boots on the ground. I love the Caribbean and Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you have to do politics as you had to do in Spain if you wanted to move a finger, whether academic, whether politicians based.
Yes.
And nobody listens to us up there. We do some terrific things. The Puerto Rican guys who run the library,
mm-hmm.
at the, you know, whatever, social studies, CUNY. Lovely people, the guys who run the show, the top ones, the Puerto Rican bosses
mm-hmm.
of that whole shenanigan, are Puerto Rican intellectuals, they're Hunter College. They don't even answer my emails. Five schools, high schools, I get $22,000 from the DCA to do a YEEP, Youth Education Art Program, for and creating internships for minority underserved
mm-hmm.
community
mm-hmm.
kids in order to get to the mothers into the community.
Mm-hmm.
Five high schools don't pay attention because I realize the politician in charge, Mrs. So and So, will not name her in East Harlem.
Yeah.
They don't even answer. I call the office. Oh yeah, we know, we received your thing. I say, boy, boy, this is what we call in Spain a dedo. A finger has to open the doors for you.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I'm not gonna suffer the consequences. The last thing we do, Chashama gives us a space,
mm-hmm.
and Lexington and 111th, the People's Church is there that the Young Lords took over in 69.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Panthers visit one day. I made buddies with a few of them, and the deacon lets us have that to do the last piece. Perfect day, Raul Zamudio and I curate, perfect day, and the conversations about opioids in the minority communities, right? And we do that, we seal the deal,
mm-hmm.
and in 11 months later, I look at 10 spaces in the Lower East Side, the East Village. I give up on this one, being too small.
Mm-hmm.
10 more, we don't succeed even with people guaranteeing our leases. Landlords want 7,000, you go sign it, 10 becomes $12,000, $13,000 under COVID with everything, 50% of the space is rent. So I come back here, I meet the landlord, corporate landlord, you know, and he owns Sol Lewitz and this and that. And this is a shithole of a space, decay, 19th century electricity.
Oh, okay.
But it has 1,000 square feet of garden in the back.
Wow.
In a basement like the gallows.
Yes.
And I go back, I talk to two buddies of mine, Matt Sullivan,
mm-hmm.
Oboe
mm-hmm.
player, part of the Quintet of the Americas, 40 some years later. He's been a downtown musician, has recorded with, you name it, Elliot Sharp, this, that, has done John Cage. pronunciations, you name it.
That's the gentleman who played the music the other day.
The oboe player is also the head of the Steinhardt School of Performing Arts Music, Music Department, The Wind, he runs, and who has collaborated many times with his late husband, Ken Croquen. They run the 2B and 2C garden around the corner. And that is one of our
partners.
The brother partners is that, is 2B and 2C.
Okay.
And we're keeping off is at the Lansing, at the York. I met this colorful man, sort of recovering from something, but very lively, and all full of orange robes, Alan Bookman. And we hit each other, we hit it off with each other. Who the hell are you? He says, oh, I used to run the culture project. I said, that fucking political theater in Lafayette and Bleecker? He said, yeah, you did Guantanamo with that's one tutu. Come into act one day, said, yeah, now I call myself something else, right? Right here, right? Blueprint for accountability.
Right.
And that's no longer there. And we hit it off and said, why don't you kick in with us in this new space? And let's call it this 9 Avenue B. The zip code is 10,009. So I said, why don't we call it 9B9? B9 is also B9. Benigno.
Yeah.
9 is a fake German for nut.
Okay.
So we're not B9. With that, the few of us, you know, put our efforts together.
Yeah.
Matt Sullivan generously from the Foundation of Ken Croquen funds begins to lay out a lot of funds. I bring in all the labor and my idea to get a again a great architect. I have many friends, Stephen Hall, to you name it, Robert Marino, Yair Rosenkrantz, and I said, you know what, I'm going to then design it myself, chipboard, let the awful things of the architecture, the history be there, gas pipes, etc.
Yes, short of it,
here we are. Now we have a program in which White Box presents White Box, visuals, sound art, etc. Right? Elliot Sharp will be playing here on the 5th with Janine Higgins, and we have a layout already of about 10 or 12 sound, art, and electronic composers, etc., lined up for our White Noise series we began at Performa in 2005.
And that's part of the off the cloth exhibition, the current exhibition?
No,
in general.
In general. So then we do a series of jazz that Alan Bookman puts together in music and composers, Protresta, all women orchestra, played only women, you know, compositions. We've already had them under construction. So there comes the idea that I meet Johanna Roa, I go to Mexico, I meet Karen, the curator of the cloth, which originally had other curators, but I like one like this. And this woman is a top feminist curator, born in Rome, New York, you know, PhD from Yale, but lives for 30 years in Mexico. Super cool, you know? And I said, would you curate this? And she said, yes, with you, because my idea was off the cloth.
Yes,
off the cuff, off the cloth. And with that is the advent, I said, part of Exodus series, but let's cover, let's do, I mean, the moment is having a lot of beautifully engaged in the black community, Black Lives Matter, give us this new, you know, a necessity to, hey, come on, what about, you know, black folk in America, excuse me, etc. You know, I have two grandchildren who are black and white, let's say what we call colors, right? Etc. And I said, yeah, you know, but people are doing it so well. Almost every gallery is picking up a black artist of certain resonance, historical or no revives or no. And I said, why the hell do we want to compete? The way that White Box didn't compete with Art Space, Art in General, you know, all these other historical non-profit art alternative spaces, because they do the job very well.
Yeah.
And they have a farm system to get new talented artists, young, into the gallery system, into the museum, into the auction houses.
Right.
So I said, White Box, I told those fellows, we have to be different. We bring the historical, underserved, you name it.
Yeah,
Dennis
Oppenheim
was a little bit under. Alison Knowles, not floating. Carolee Schneemann hadn't had a show since Dan Cameron gave her a retrospective at the New Museum 7 years before the year 2000, when we gave her at SEA, Seminar of Actors Series, and she made me a curator. And like Michael's, you know, back to back, I put both of them. Both of them forced me to curate their shows.
Yeah.
More Wrong Things, right? And a Snow Alert.
Mm-hmm.
I curated. I didn't want to curate. I was a fucking artist. The hell do I want to curate? Conversations, which is what rolls into the present. So I decided with Johanna Roa to do, to open this space in Alphabet City and dedicate the first 2 years to feminist curatorial.
And that's where the Exodus series comes in.
Continues.
Oh, okay, continues.
But before it was artists at large from here, from China, from
right.
Right.
Okay, okay.
This time is all of them. And actually this exhibition probably has only one. Amanda Valdez, born here, Mexican father, she qualifies. But if you look at each one of these artists, Italy, Greece, Latin America, Kinzat Najim, Pakistan, Johanna Roat from Colombia, and on. So, and Sandra Lee, Asian American, right?
Yeah.
So
and Shiva.
And Shiva Burgos, now in Papua New Guinea, born in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And we go down there and we see Eva Petrick from Slovenia, right? And it's all the killing, we'd be the only American.
Right.
But she's always out there around the world.
Yes.
So basically, Exodus of the Cloth. This is part one of part two. Karen Cordero Ryman will do a fantastic part two. We're going to apply to the NEA for next year.
Okay.
So this will precipitate more. The backyard is being used. Jody Lin Ki Chow did a beautiful durational performance the other day, available at White Box Facebook. And Johanna Roa cooked the herbs, etc., that sustain a lot of native people in Mexico. She recreated that recipe, and about 50 people stayed with us for like 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Right, I mean, everybody really wants that.
No, but without drinks. And the beautiful thing was that during the evening, a bunch of people came. Bruce Conner, the great poet, and his girlfriend, a great dancer, and they go like, oh my God, we're walking by, there's one, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, Kagan,
come back, we revive you poets. Bob Holman, I invited him to come by again and try to combine things. So here we are, without nostalgia, by choice, not in Tribeca, not in Chelsea, not in the Orchard Street, the Kingdom, etc., but at the margins. I mean, there's Karma, there's New Avenue C, some artists, where there's Keith Smith, etc. So, of course, and there's Participant Inc., a beautiful performance space, the Agang Gitana.
And the Half Gallery, I guess.
And Half Gallery right here. No, there's a few things, certainly. But yeah, Avenue B is something special, you know?
Yeah.
And since 1973, June 10th, when I landed here and I stayed at 7th and B in front of the park, I live next to Ginsberg on 12th, etc. You know, is some kind of a return to this point of departure for me was landing here, right? And having had choices to go to San Francisco Art Institute, etc. You didn't take me away from here. And yes, things have changed. A lot of students live here. A lot of young artists moved to Brooklyn, right? And I've been faced by many artists, why not Brooklyn?
Why not Brooklyn?
We're much hipper and shit. And my answer was very simple. And you can look at whatever we have online and on Facebook and Instagram, we put opening time. If you look at the public that came here, and it was a Friday with many people who apologized, there were no other openings and other things.
Yeah.
When you look at it, it was, you know, a panoply of other folk, poets, others that live around here. A middle of the road, new faces I had never seen. An old gentleman with a young Chinese lady, certainly imports. And I'm into younger ones. And I said, you know what? We had, you know, a good mixture of what they call ethnia, etc. But I said, you know what? This is the kind of public in some neighbors. I said, this is the kind of public I like to kick in for. that without serving a drink, they lasted from 140 years, so they came and went.
Yeah.
And most of them stayed for a good half an hour and a half plus, to a 50 core of them with no drinks for 3 hours and 20 minutes to taste that recipe.
Medicine.
I said, this is what couldn't happen out there in Tribeca, back in Chelsea, because everybody goes for the X amount of minutes of their drink, chatter, see who's there.
Yeah,
it's like, mass at 1 o'clock with my father in Spain was exactly that.
Yes.
You go there to be seen,
yeah,
to show off, to say, hey, I'm here, baby. Right?
And well, that's the thing, you know, the hip is just temporary. Who cares about hip? I mean, in some ways, the art scene in the East Village is eternal. And I was thinking about that. You can tell the health of New York City by seeing how healthy the East Village is. And the fact that we've come back here tells me New York City has a good future still.
But let's make a point that it has 0 degree of nostalgia.
Okay.
I believe my more... You know, Albert Durer makes a beautiful piece, right? The angel, melancholy, and the polyhedron, right? And the faces, us, diamonds that we are. And see, the metaphysics of that is what I'm after, right? That the yogis, the saints, St. John of the Cross, right? The beautiful deity, godlike poems.
Yes.
People don't remember he was a prisoner of his own order in 1 meter tall, 3 feet. And one of the guards gave him a pen and the ink to write those beautiful poems, thanks to a guard, right?
Yes, yes.
That all those things to me have the sense of melancholy. We look for the divine, not for the theosophy of the God in it, that even Rothko and all these people were theosophists.
Kenneth
Nolan, Owen. I told Linda Nucklin once in a conversation we had at the Brooklyn Museum feminist place. I don't want to name Suckler because I think it sucks. Suckler still backs up all those things with the opioid billions. So anyhow, melancholy is what runs the day, because we have to concentrate in the aspects of the uniqueness, the divine. The divine has politics. Politics as divinity, when we know how to do them. So the Ukrainians, the funny guy, Red Zelensky, has come up with that kind of point of divinity. He's going to defend something that he was not even prepared for, right? Let's say...
Well, that's a long conversation.
No, under construction, we did a benefit for Ukraine as well.
Right.
So we had about 150 musicians and others, and we help raise some money to buy medicine
and
etc. So we don't forget that, and this is what Johan wrote, sent me a voice message through WhatsApp this morning. I said that I am part of that consequential thing that you are creating for others like us to exhibit and to mix in with the community. And say, I'm proud of you having seen the effort it took, and you building it yourself, putting the thousands of screws and lifting things and busting your back. It's all to advance community.
Yes, all to advance community. And I think that's really what will make New York City strong again and make this whole art world start working from a different point of view, like a heart space. Who is this revolutionary on your shirt? I know you have somebody here.
You know, when I was in Beijing, I met Juan Rui through Peter Wayne Lewis. And Juan Rui was one of the original members of the Chinese during the moment between the, you know, the Cultural Revolution kicks in. It was a moment of freedom, I think it was circa 1980. And I was very impressed by him. I was going to do actually a show about that moment. I needed a t-shirt in the morning. And he said, oh, I'm going to give you a t-shirt that's very dear to me because it's the last one I have. And this is one of our great thinkers in that moment that influenced us. And Juan Rui, with his many other friends, had took to the streets and demanded contemporary art to be shown. They gave him the National Museum, but they never gave him the keys. So they did the first show on the outside fence of the National Museum.
Wow.
So all that we were going to do, and perhaps in the future. So to me, this represents someone like Antonio Gramsci,
mm-hmm.
that influenced Pasolini in a lot of that, the school of cinematographers.
Yes, yes.
With also this kind of melancholy to create something deep, new. And at the same time, Vittorio De Sica, the bicycle thief, etc. Right? They give us the poverty, the moment, the frustration, the post-war moment. But boy, the films they made, right? So as a kid, I was influenced by that.
Yes, yes.
And by Camus, more than by Sartre, and by Simone de Beauvoir. So my existentialist approach brought me here.
Yeah,
as a kid without high school, mm-hmm. I was doing the streets and theater, etc. And all that. And I came here, and actually, by the way, it's very important to know that I was a social worker for the Puerto Rican and Black community in Rochester, New York, 74-75, with my first English dictionary in my pocket.
Wow.
I was translating, I was going to fight for the rights to remain, receiving a check.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw that I was hitting the wall a little bit, and I was not gonna save anybody. I didn't want to go into art.
Okay.
Then I work in factories,
yeah.
And I punch steel, so I understood what heavy metal was, right? Captain Beefheart,
yes.
A painter showing in Soho, but also this great musician that influences other things outside punk and noise. So that accumulation, then I go to Tufts University, to the School of Museum, I have dinner at MoMA with Robert Store, where Martha Wilson toast to White Box, the umbilical cord in Chelsea, in early Chelsea, mm-hmm. as Franklin Furness was in Tribeca. And I go like, come on, don't shame me. So I make friends with her, right? And I give her the 30th anniversary of Franklin Furness, with et cetera, et cetera. So that whole milieu, that doesn't come specifically from any type of a schooling, that doesn't come in a particular art form-ish
energy
thing,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
It really, in a way, we've been l'enfant terrible, in a sense. I'm not giving myself a glory, fall marking or branding, but from the start, I said, we're gonna be different, we're gonna be international. We did.
Right.
First 10 years,
yeah.
I brought most everything out there, and then we would do a little bit of what's going on right here,
mm-hmm.
here now, right? So
yeah.
We did that. And I gave shows to people. I thought we were Duke Riley, full show, Ivan Navarro, I did Mary Mattingly, Javier Tellez.
Yeah.
These guys have come into being like really powerful artists,
yes.
in their own, and extremely significant,
yes.
right?
So and this current exhibition is going to May 4th?
To May 4th, yep.
Mm-hmm.
On Earth Day, April 22nd,
mm-hmm.
we will have another set of conversations with three other artists,
mm-hmm.
and Karen Cordero Ryman,
mm-hmm.
From Mexico City, right?
Yes. She will be here, or she
no,
will be
No, she will
online?
Be still there.
Right.
She will be visiting in June here,
mm-hmm.
and will visit all the artists, because
yeah.
all the artists are like expats,
yes.
but they live in New York City.
Yes.
Right? And that's what I like
yes,
to
yes,
say.
Yes, yes.
We continue celebrating just in case Trump comes back to power and we became this other place, like the place I left in 1973,
right.
a capitalist fascist place or neo-fascist,
yes, yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
So in case of that, Karen will curate next year part two of the cloth.
Right.
And this will be followed by a fantastic exhibition called Matriarchive in
mm-hmm.
Resistance, right? That is gonna tie a lot of artists collaborating into one of the earliest feminist architects, Mexican of Lebanese descent,
wow.
from Mexico City, who was working with Nobel Prize winners in physics, with photographers in Chile during the end of the Allende
mm-hmm.
regime, at Sikh built design build houses based on a tantric mode of architecture she used. We're talking about the late 60s and early 70s.
Right.
And she built in Cape Verde in Portugal during the Carnation Revolution after Salazar's
mm-hmm.
In 74. So all that's going to be a compendium of Johanna Roa's, her own PhD piece at City College and Mexico Ibero University, will be housed here with these signs. And then we have other people, including Mary Mattingly, who understood Josefina Mena, the subject of the exhibition in the 12 years of archives. She understood that she was one of the earliest environmental feminist architects.
And then,
so that's Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, kicks in through the end of June.
And you said something like Blanca de la Torre.
Blanca de la Torre is coming here in May. We've been fabulous friends since her days in New York. And that she has become, right? And she has become since then one of the top environmental curators, right? As you know.
She's been on the podcast too, actually, one of the first episodes.
Well, she's coming in May, and we've been talking for a long time about creating green box and white box. So the garden in the back, with Matt Sullivan and to be in to see.
Perfect.
We're going to write grants. And Francis Levine had designed an environmental garden for a Broome Street place we never built. So we want to ask for permission. When Blanca comes, we're going to talk about it. For the landlord to do a windmill on the rooftop, solar panels, and water gathering systems to go into the backyard. And we're going to have greenery. We're going to build a container as a podcast station, a mini exhibition space, and performance space, right? And Guignol Theater for children from the neighborhood. I want to kick in back again, youth educational program, internships from the high schools around here. And these are easier to get to. They're minorities. Bard College runs one, Pace University another one, the Earth one. And we're going to take the minority marginalized kids, black, Latino, Asian. And one of the reasons to do that, we'll put them into the environmental system, urban environmental, I hope Blanca will help us get off the ground. My idea is, and I'll finish with this, that White Box should be a place without every exhibition or workshops with local women. And right here we have the birth of Latinx, the New Yorkans, and so forth. And south of Houston, the Line Sea, and below the Lower East Side to Chinatown, where we were for 10 years, and we did a lot of conversations and interactions with MoCA, with Bob Lee, right? Asian American Arts Center. We, through the kids, doing internships here and elaborating systems of knowledge, culture, poetry, music, to get the mothers to meet each other. And Johanna Roa is going to create a system of workshops she's done in Latin America with native communities as well, and put all that into one mixer and in the backyard, downstairs, and right here do workshops constantly with the women that their kids talk to each other and play handball on Christie Park, etc. But they themselves are mixed. They look at each other through the Delancey, crossing the Delancey, right? So we want this place to be the repository of community, artistic community, multi-generational, no limits to what we bring through our partners to be and to see, and Blueprint for Accountability. Just come here and meet each other and see how we can get up the ground, all the strata of society, the new literature, where, you know, we write ourselves into history through, through art.
I love that. And the, all what you describe, it's happening all over, I think, the world right now. I have a friend who just opened a space in Connecticut, and this is, you basically have outlined his idea. And I have another friend who just got a space upstate New York, and he's working on something similar. So we understand emotionally that this is what the world needs right now.
And we live in a decentralized moment. Arthur Danto in 96, when I began White Box, and I got my job and my MFA beginning at the Pennsylvania Academy, told me one thing. He says, we live in a great moment, Juan. And I said, really? Really? Now? How the hell do you explain that? He says, Juan, this is the first time in history that we don't have isms to abide by. we've always said isms of this and that, the Gothic isms and that, and minimalism and conceptualism, postmodernism, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
This is right now, 96. And that was the root of White Box, understanding the end of isms.
All right, well,
so
I think
thank Arthur Danto and Pedro Vio for having brought me through my punk days into this moment in which, you know, it's free for all.
Yeah.
It's anarchy in the kingdom, but a true anarchy with a system of love and compassion.
And that's exactly the chaos is giving birth to this whole new society, creative and otherwise.
It's a
great time to be alive, like he said.
Yeah, and I don't mind those hundreds of gallery spaces, non-profits, museums with the white walls, which I find so boring.
Nicolette, I said,
what is the difference between online all these things you see, galleries, they make them to be so virtual, so nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have to go to shows because you can click here and it gives you a 360. So everybody's getting used to that pixel light.
Yes.
Superbly high technology, 8K
shit.
It's like, wow. So it's like, why do they want to come here? And if they come here, why not white walls?
Well, I can't remember, but this wasn't how galleries were, let's say, before the 1940s. There was a particular artist, I think it's a woman, who first painted her gallery white and put the art up on these white walls. But before that, it used to be much more like this, with like these chairs and tables and places people can sit.
To the point, Natalie Edgar Pavia, Philip Pavia's widow, who was not pretty for Art News, says, you know what, Sydney Janis, who are very good friends, you know, Sydney Janis did have a white space like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney Janis had this beautiful home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where
mm-hmm.
all this great art was shown.
Yeah.
It's exactly. In Europe, you still go to Vienna, and you go to an apartment building in Madrid.
Yeah.
Great galleries are in apartments.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
some have color, some not.
Yeah.
They have balconies and such. So this invention of the white
box.
Cube.
Mm-hmm. Cube.
No.
Yeah,
the
right cube.
See, I'll leave you with this. The box, the idea came closer to the cube, and in conversation with Sid Sachs and myself, I met Brian O'Doherty too, and I told him, you're guilty of my naming white box. Really? I said, you inside white cube gave me this notion with William Anastasi also, using that cube as a counterintelligence for his own works, reducing each wall 10%, painting each wall by itself as a wall itself and a canvas, blah, blah. All that rhetoric. And I said, you know, a box can form a cube, right?
Yeah.
You can paint it white if you want it or not. Now we keep the cardboard feeling. I said, but well, a box can be a cube. A cube
cannot
never be a box.
All right, I get it. Yes. Okay, that's a good one to end with. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode with Juan Puntas. Off the Cloth is open until May 4th. That is new location, 9 Avenue B between 2nd Street and I guess Houston or 2nd and 1st. It's a great exhibition and really worth going to if you're in New York City.